New charges announced in the killing of George Floyd. Oklahoma State University's COVID-19 plan of action for athletes is tested, and what you need to know before voting in the June 30th election. For the Oklahoman, I'm Dave Morris. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd. It is a hot one across Oklahoma. Four Minneapolis police officers will face charges in the killing of George Floyd. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is increasing charges against Derek Chauvin to second degree and also charging three other officers.
I strongly believe that these developments are in the interest of justice for Mr. Floyd, his family, our community, and our state.
Floyd died May 25th, Memorial Day, after Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck for more than 8 minutes. Video recorded by bystanders shows the other three officers at the scene failed to intervene. Thomas Lane, J.A. King, and Tu Tao were the other officers on the scene. Tao is charged with aiding and abetting as well as second-degree murder in the commission of a felony. The other officers face similar charges of aiding and abetting. Attorney General Ellison asked for patience as the agency continues with the investigation.
I also want to add a word of caution. The investigation is ongoing. We are following the path of all of the evidence. Wherever it leads, we are investigating as quickly as we can because speed is important. We're also investigating as thoroughly as we can because being complete and thorough is critically important, but it takes time. The reason thoroughness is important is because every single link in the prosecutorial chain must be strong. It needs to be strong because trying this case will not be an easy thing. I say this not because we doubt our resources or our ability. In fact, we're confident in what we're doing. But history does show that there are clear challenges here, and we are going to be working very hard in relying on each other and our investigative partners and the community to support that endeavor.
The incident has sparked protests across the country, including here in Oklahoma, where demonstrations have been held in various cities.
I've been watching the media coverage, and especially last night, it was really really peaceful, and it was really thoughtful. But I mean, people were just standing in the middle of the street talking, you know, for hours, apparently all night. And I wanted to see that continue, and I really wanted to lift the curfew.
Oklahoma City Mayor David Holt lifted the downtown curfew on Tuesday, shortly before it was set to take effect yesterday evening. The Metro Mayor also met with leaders of Black Lives Matter Oklahoma City for several hours on Tuesday.
It's been a long week, but it was an impactful day. We had a great discussion at City Council. 6 hours, I think, we went on about police policies with the chief. We heard, I think it was ultimately about 50 residents. That may not sound a lot, but that's about 3 hours of comments, you know, and it was a lot of passion and a lot of impactful observations. And I went from immediately from there to 2 hours with the leadership of Black Lives Matter. And you know, we found some common ground that we can work on.
A group of black ministers are sharing their views on how Christians should respond to racism. Our religion editor, Carla Hinton, has more on the hour-long discussion.
It was hosted by the Reverend Eric LaVarence at First Presbyterian Church of Edmond. He's a senior pastor there, and he thought this would be a great time to put together a conversation with some black ministers from Northeast Oklahoma City. They originally agreed to talk about how Christians should respond to racism. The conversation was about an hour long. It was live streamed on Monday, and the discussion is currently archived on the church's social media platform, so anyone can go and actually hear what the pastors had to say. I think that they covered a lot of ground in that hour. There was a discussion about the George Floyd, his death in the police custody, the protests that came afterwards, including the rioting. They also talked about racism, you know, within the body of Christ and how the body of Christ is responsible for rooting that evil out so that the gospel message itself can stand unfettered and untainted. I do want to add that the pastors who were involved from Northeast Oklahoma City included the Reverend Major Jemison. He is the senior pastor of St. John Missionary Baptist Church. The Reverend Larry Crudup. He is the senior pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And the Reverend D. Laval Crawford. He is the pastor of Avery Chapel AME Church. I think between the four of them, with LaVarence, who is white, serving as moderator, I think they did a good job of maybe talking about some really heavy issues in a short amount of time.
An Oklahoma City Public Schools employee tested positive for the coronavirus. Education reporter Nuria Martinez-Kill reports the worker was a nutrition employee at John Marshall Enterprise School. However, a district spokesperson said the employee was not involved in the preparation or distribution of meals. The middle school will be disinfected and cleaned, and other staff were recommended to self-quarantine for 14 days. According to the Wednesday announcement, the district is working closely with health officials to address the situation. The district added, while it must protect the privacy of the person, the administration thought it was best for community transparency with family, staff, and the community. Oklahoma State University say three football players have tested positive for COVID-19. The cases were discovered during the first phase of testing to bring athletes back to campus on Monday. The Oklahoman Scott Wright reports the university tested more than 150 staff members, administrators, and student athletes. There were three asymptomatic positives, all by student athletes. The individuals will be quarantined in separate housing, where they will continue to be monitored and treated by team physicians and athletic staff. Freshman players who were scheduled to move in this weekend were notified, and their report date has been delayed until further notice. In just a few weeks, Oklahomans will cast their ballots in the Oklahoma primary, but there are a few changes heading into the June 30th election. Oklahoma's Carmen Foreman has some information you need to know heading into the race.
The June 30th primary election is coming up fast. So Friday is the deadline to register to vote in the election. But the things to know about voting this year is that there are some changes because of the coronavirus. If you vote in person, you will notice that voting booths will be spaced 6 feet apart. Voters waiting in line to cast their ballot will be asked to stand 6 feet apart. These areas should be clearly marked. Poll workers will keep their distance from you as you're voting. And in Oklahoma, there's always the option to vote absentee. But the thing is, there are some new changes in law that will make voting absentee look a little different this year than it has in the past. Previously, you had to get your absentee ballot notarized. This year, you can either get your absentee ballot notarized or you can send a copy of your ID in with your ballot. And there's a series of valid IDs that will work. You can send a copy of your voter registration card, your driver's license, a tribal ID, a medical marijuana card. Election officials say that's to help secure the elections. So those are just some of the things you need to know before heading to the polls or filling out your ballot at home. I wrote a story with all the details, so check it out before you vote.
That'll do it for today's podcast, which is produced by the Oklahoman's Paige Dillard. Be sure to stay with Oklahoman.com throughout the night for the latest updates on any protests or other news breaking. For the Oklahoman, I'm Dave Morris. Stay safe, everyone.